Amen, everyone. Very good morning to you all. Will you take a moment just to ask someone close to you to share with you three things you are thankful for this morning? Praat so bietjie. Waarvoor is jy dankbaar vanoggend? Kom ons vat net so 'n minuut. Awesome. Right, so if you are new around here, my name is Werner. Do we have any holiday goers yet? Are we early? Are we moving into it? Not yet? Anyone on holiday? Great. We are finishing up with a Sermon on the Mount next week. We've chewed on some proper food, spiritual food, and it's here, we're almost at the end, but it's not soft like dessert. It's this is like a droewors, a biltong for dessert. And some of the men is like, that's how I like it. I want to use imagery to help us this morning digest the words of Jesus. Let me pray for a moment and then we'll carry on. Thank you, Father, that we, as your children, can gather around you. And thank you that you brought us together into one place to be a family. Jesus, we remember your sacrifice and our hearts exalt you. Holy Spirit, thank you for awakening us to the truths. And we pray that we will have transformed hearts, but also hearts that will have the ability to keep on transforming. That's what I pray for. I pray for a great humility in our midst to change, but also a great faith and a great joy to accompany us on the journey. And I pray that in the name of Jesus alone. Amen. Okay, last week we did, here's how you discern false prophets. You discern them by their fruit, remember? What we also said is the one who discerns their own garden first would be better fit to help discern another garden. So we see in this part of the Sermon on the Mount that the tension shifts the whole time. Like, remove the log out of your eye in order to help. Hey, there's times when you will have to discern the world out there. You have to discern whether there's fruit in another person's life, and then it turns back to us. Now, this is a very, very challenging scripture, but there's great hope for everyone who trusts in Christ. I want to read for us. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you depart from me. If there is a scripture that sends shivers down spines, then it's this one. And we're gonna dissect it at least from one angle. On that next slide, I'm just showing us again. Look at the tension on the Sermon on the Mount. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye and do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Okay, remember, self-reflection is very important. But then it says, beware of false prophets who come to you. You will recognize them. You will make a judgment. You will come to a conclusion about their fruit. And then it comes back and says, remember, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you read Matthew 7 verse 21, what we just read, that bigger piece, and you think about other people, you are misreading the scripture. This is a time for brutal self-assessment. Again, you see what Jesus is doing. He keeps his listeners to the sermon humble the whole time. Remember, you must discern. You must be wise out there. Okay. Also now again, discern your own heart. And it's almost like scripture is saying to us a couple of things. If we discern others, but we do not discern ourselves, we are hypocrites. Okay. If we discern ourselves, but we never have discernment in the world, we are gullible. Okay, Jesus does not call us to be like that. If we discern ourselves internally and we discern the world externally, we are biblical. Okay, both is there. Now the question we have to ask ourselves this morning is the question, which one am I? If I should appear before my Lord and Savior today, and I say, I know you, I have been a part of this, I've been involved in that, I've been serving in this way, does he know me? I have my terms of relating, but is it in the right way? Is knowing there? If we go to that next slide again, he says, I will declare to you that I never knew you. That next one, please. Yes. And it's almost like a hinge. It's a very important hinge in this text. I never knew you. Now, look very carefully. He says, not everyone will enter, but he who does the will of the Father. Okay, so there is some work that flows from the heart. But the people also come and they say, but we did some works. Here's the works. Prophesied. Cast out demons, and mighty works. Yes, the works is there, but he says it's of a different kind. Okay, so there's dead works that leads nowhere, but there's works that's evident of a faith, and we need to look very carefully and dissect these. I never knew you. Tough one. One thing we see that Jesus is saying there in the bottom is that spiritual activity or church involvement or association is in itself not evidence for intimacy. I did not know you. Okay. How do I know? How do I know? Now, this is a very difficult sermon to do in 30 minutes, but if we go to that next slide, it speaks of assurance of salvation. It's a theological term that most Christians around the world agree is something that a believer should carry in their heart, assurance of salvation. We are not the kind of faith where you hope you come over the line at the end. We are born again, regenerated, and there's evidence for that, which is an assurance of salvation. It gives us a great power and a great joy in our life. 1 John 5 verse 3, and we're going to get most of our answers out of the book of 1 John. Please read it this week. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. Okay, this is what scripture says. Now, our question is, how do I know that it happened in me? Jesus says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Yet, there's a place where Jesus says, I never know you. Can you see this? We need to grapple with this morning. And I trust that the Holy Spirit is going to help us. Now, I want to use this imagery as the seat across from Jesus. Okay. Now, any moment. Okay, any moment. As jy sien, hierdie twee mense hardloop uit, dis nie omdat hulle offended is met my nie, dis omdat dis tyd om hospitaal toe te gaan, hier kom 'n baba. Ron, kom sit dit gou hier by my. Like, I can't keep someone on the stage the whole sermon, it's going to be a little bit weird, but when you're sitting across from someone like this, oh, I didn't plan this, but there was actually a... the world has become so digital that people have forgotten to look. Like, I mean, I kyk nou soos heavy in jou oor. Man tot man, okay? and there's things I notice about Ron. Like, as we sit, his head is slightly tilted to the one side because that's the way he engages. And I've never noticed that before, but I'm looking. There was an artist, and her show was called The Artist Is Present. And all she did is, there was a room full of people, a lot of people, and she would just sit with someone and look. And at one stage, these people would just start to break down and cry because someone is intently looking at them without getting distracted for a moment. There's a place across from Jesus that we are called to take. It is a seat that we take when we know Him. We start to know Him. And He knows us. When I sit in front of Jesus, Ron, you're a great guy, but you're not all the way there, all right? And if I were to look at Jesus and I pull the files from Revelation, what they see when they see Jesus in heaven, I want to put it in two categories this morning. The first thing, or the one thing they see, is they see His majesty and His crown. Now, we're going to play with these two ideas. When I see the majesty, and I said, I've got nowhere to hide. Was jy al in die moeilikheid gewees? En dan sit jy oorkant die hoof en jy sê, for this moment, you're like, sometimes when my kids are in trouble, they just like, they start cleaning the counter. They like, listen, but they do. But if you sit square, you're in this moment. This yay in you. Now, I'm not equating God with a principle that's mad, but this idea of not hiding. We have no reason to hide if we look long enough. I see His crown, and I see His glory. What I then see is I see a depth of sin in me that gets magnified in His presence. Are you with me? Because what I see from Him, it's crystal pure. It's crystal. There's glans. Now, if I sit across from humans, I'm kind of a cool guy. I'm kind of, yeah, you know, some people, they're involved in this kind of thing and that kind of thing. I'm kind of a clean guy. But when I sit across from Christ, that which is hidden in my heart, it surfaces. And I'm aware of my fallibilities. I'm aware of my sin. And I've got nowhere to hide from it because it's you and me. Okay. The other thing I see, and they see it in heaven on Jesus, is the Lamb that was slain. They see His crown, but they see His wounds as well. The other thing I see is I see His hands and I see they pierced. And I look down and my eye catches His feet and I see it's pierced. And for a moment I can see the crown of glory, but I can also remember a crown of thorns, and there's injuries on the body, a lamb that was slain. And then those wounds starts to speak to the sin I just remembered. And the wounds says, but I have come to cover those sins. And I say, thank you. Thank you. And I sit and I see the crown and I see another sin. And I'm like, there's also this thing. And then I see a wound and says, I can go. And so the believer that sits across from Christ, it's like two tides. It's like high tide and low. It works. My sin, I want to hide it. I want to hide it, but I catch his wounds and I'm drawn. Don't hide it. I can cover it. Are you with me this morning? Is this the seat across from Christ? It's two forces in the life of the believer. Ron, you can be a seat. Now, I wanted to take some time. I wanted to get us in that seat. Oh, he did well. Great. Okay. Now, we'll always see two truths on the seat of Christ. I learn about the depth of my sin. It's on the screen there. And when seeing the wounds of Jesus, we can go on. I meet a grace that overpowers sin. Next slide, please. Right. These are the two things I live with. Now, read with me. I'm going to sit here because I want to imagine, I want you to imagine yourself reading this in front of Christ. We're going to a place of knowing. If we say we have fellowship with him, fellowship. I'm not talking about agendas. I'm not talking about tasks. I'm talking about fellowship. While we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, he, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay. If we say we have fellowship with him, we should not walk in darkness. But Lord, there is this thing in me. Like, I feel like I'm following you, but this thing to me, if I look at your crown, this is dark. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, Lord, there is something here. If I'm really honest with you, then the wounds speak again. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right. Lord, I know when I look at your crown that I cannot have darkness in me, but I do. The moment I do that, I might stumble, but I stumble toward the light. And his wounds speaks and heals and restores. This is a tension. Right. And so sometimes we find ourselves emphasizing the one part. Okay? It is true. On the other side, we can be like sin police. But when we sit with Christ, both of those things finds a place where it works, the way of a kingdom, eye to eye, you and Jesus. Now, I'm going to give you three things that's a reality in your life if you sit across from Christ. And this will help you. These are crumbs of evidence for you to assess your own faith. Scripture asks of us to assess ourselves whether we are in the faith. I'm going to give you three things. The first thing, we can put it up, is he who sits across from Christ gets awakenings from sin. Okay, how does that work? Read the book of 1 John. I'm just lifting a couple. What happens is, I'm on fire for the Lord. I love him. I go on missions. I'm there in Stellenbosch, or you're here and you went on missions and you're like, go, 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 go. And then something unhooks. And it's a very slight unhook. It's not like you go off the rails in one day, but it's something in your heart shifts and you start to not sit across from him. And now you start to build a little bit of offense or resentment towards your spouse, but you don't sit. And because you don't sit, you don't see the crown, you don't see the depths of your sin, you're just dancing around the seat, and what happens is you actually end up in a toxic place. You're waking up with a little bit of unforgiveness. Yes, op die edge. Something's not right. Maybe this leads to a different sin. Okay, you slip. Now, you come into church or a friend comes to visit and it's like a bucket of water hits you in the face. Ice bucket challenge. And you're like, I drifted away from him. I see it now, Lord. Please. I've gone in a different direction than what you have called me. And if I look at your love, your life, your grace, your sacrifice, and where I am right now, I've not been a disciple of you. I've been deceived. What is happening? I'm being awakened. 1 John 3 verse 9 happens to me. Because why? There's something in me of the kingdom. There's a seed in me. And what this seed does, it grows, it's ever working. And we all have sin. Remember what John 1 says, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. But he who knows Jesus, the bucket of ice hits you and you repent. That is a sign of life. It is a sign of knowing. And what happens is you become soft. It's like, Lord, please forgive me. The moment you bend, you hear the wounds. The wound starts to speak. It lifts you up. You phone a friend. You say, listen, I've become hard towards my wife. I've become harsh towards my children. I've slipped away, but please, can we meet? What are you doing? You're rebuilding the walls. It's a sign of life. Discovering sin is not a sign that you were not saved. That's just we have sin. It's the awakening that's the sign of life. Now, be very careful of this. When the voice of Jesus comes towards you, or I don't want to say careful, diagnose, and you hear there's something here and your posture is, nah, it's not okay. Watch out. Something is wrong. Someone says, listen, I'm looking into your marriage, looking into your life, something here that's not right. Now we're fine. Watch out. Because he who knows him is not afraid to lift up hidden sin because he sees the wounds that covers those. And so they tend to be humbler. Is it? What did you see? Shucks, did I say it like that? Okay, you're going to have to pray for me. You're going to have to explain to me what is happening. I'm being drawn into relationship. It is a sign of life. The seat across from Jesus. Some of you feel bad when you discover and repent of sin. In one sense, mourn your sin, but don't mourn what happened there. It's a sign of life. It's one thing to do a lot of things. It's a different thing to know him. Right. You see him again. You are restored. That joy is back and you go forward. All of us need to be able to relate with that. If you say, but I don't really have sin, therefore I don't know about these awakenings, you are self-deceived. That's what John 1 says. If we say we have no sin, we are lying. The question is, how are you doing in your awakenings when you are called back from sin? Amen? This is a tough one, but we're chewing it the way we should. Evidences of knowing him, softening up. Right. The second thing is, it's almost like you're sitting on the other side, is this is a little bit more of a nuanced thing, but the second point is he rescues you from doubt and despair. How does this work? On the other side, what happens with you is you look at his crown, his glory, his shining, his majesty, and instead of hiding your sin, you see it very clearly, but you do something else with it. You say, if I look at my love for people, if I look at my joy in you, Lord, if I look at my time with you, how can I be a believer? Okay, how can I stand up and say, I know you, when I have these things in my life that I'm struggling with? Can you hear that coming? It's not like they're hiding, they see it, but it takes them to the pit. And I've heard this from many people. How do I know he loves me when I've done this or that? Can he love someone like me? What happens with that person when they sit across from Jesus? They see the wounds and the Holy Spirit arrives and he says, it's not your love, your works, your effort that saves and lifts you. It is the life of Jesus. And the person in despair, it's like they get woken up. They're like, really? Not my works, his? And they start to rise from despair. They start to smile and they start to rest in the work of Jesus and not their own. And they read, and some of it isn't 1 John, he's our advocate. Don't worry, I will speak for you. He's my substitute. I will be in your place. Propitiation, big word. I will take your wrath from you. But you will not know that if you don't sit and look. It's almost like assumed in life-giving churches that we are in the word and in prayer daily. Why? Watch out not to get alienated from the seat across from Jesus. It shows you your sin and shows you his grace and teaches you how to work with it in your life. If you say, yeah, therefore I can sin, look at how there's lots of grace, you're not sitting across from him, you will not tell that to him, to his face. You will tell it to someone there on the street, but you will not look at Jesus, see him, his glory and his love, and tell him, luckily I can keep on sinning. You will not. And so how do I know? Because the Holy Spirit helps us when we learn about the grace. He helps us in wanting to follow and love more. It's a sign of life. It's a sign of knowing. Now the work of the Holy Spirit here is very important. It's very important. Externally, Jesus died. They saw him on a cross. We meditated on that and prayed. Theoretically, we know what it means is the substitute took our sin. But now the thing is, the Holy Spirit must tell you that that now applies to you. We've got an external evidence. Now we need internal evidence. For me also, Lord, if you don't have that, we must pray for you this morning. If you don't have the internal evidence, the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, then we want to pray with you this morning. Because he who sits across from Jesus, there's a knowing, I'm covered by him. Does that make sense? It's a tough one, but it's a very important message this morning. If I stand before him, do I know him and am I known? The last thing, the last evidence for knowing him is a living love. Listen, there's more. This is one sermon, okay? This is to get you started. There's a living love for Jesus. You cannot look at those wounds. If we can go to that next slide, please. We cannot look at those wounds and what has been done for us and say, chop, chop, milly pop. This is what I say. No. You are inwardly dented, broken in gratitude and love. And you're like, for me? Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. Okay, there's a knowing. And so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. We love because he first loved us. So there's a love. Is that love perfect? No, but it's a living love. Why do I mean with a living love? What I mean about that is, one day I feel I really love you and I sense you and I want to listen to music that lifts you up. And other days I'm like, and then I'm going like, Lord, I don't feel it today. Like, really help me. What is that? It's a living love. It's like real love. You don't always love your wife emotionally 100%, practically 100%. Like, some of you guys are great like that, but it's a covenantal love for us. It's living. It's alive. You can say, I love him. I do love him. I struggle today, but I do love him. Why do you love him? Because you sit across from him. You know him. And you look into his eyes. And then you read his word and it comes in. If I only run on a church program, there'll be problems here. Problems. And so Mary sat, and Jesus said, look at her as an example. She's chosen the better portion. She is sitting because she's getting to know me. It's possible that I can be strong in my tasks for him, but weak in my love for him. Do you often get awakened by a bucket of ice calling you back from sin? It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It means the Spirit is drawing you back. Run back. Do you sometimes feel despair and you're like, you don't feel good enough, and then you hear the gospel again that he did it in your place and it lifts you up to the skies? It's a good sign. And do you have a living love for Jesus? I want to pray for us this morning. And I want to, we've got some time, and I want to pray for us. I want to make it an umbrella prayer. Let's stand up this morning and have faith in this place. Love is a verb, amen? I want all my facilitators to come to the front. Please, small group leaders, intercession people, long-time members, just come and join. We want to create moments of clarity and certainty. If you doubt and you know there's something in you this morning that just doubts, then let's eradicate that doubt. How about you yield your heart to the Lord again? This is the scripture we've been given for the day. So that when you appear before him, he might say, listen, you struggled in this and that area, you excelled in that area, but there's one thing I know you. That's the important thing. I want to pray for a wide umbrella of people this morning. If you have lost this place, and maybe you know that you're covered by his love and grace and you belong to him, but the seat across from Christ has been removed in your life. It's been taken over by many other things. There's many things you can lose and forfeit in this world. But to lose the seat across from Christ is a legendary mistake. Amen? And so if you just want to take that seat again, we want to pray with you. Maybe you're a believer. Just pray for my intimacy. I want to connect with him again. Heart to heart, face to face. Maybe you're saying, listen, I've been around church, but I don't know if I've allowed the Holy Spirit to cause me to be born again. I'm just not sure. We want to pray with you. So let's, while everyone is just praying in the Spirit this morning, let's just make a moment for great faith. Let's create a moment for the Holy Spirit to finish what he has started today. Oh, we honor you in this place, Holy Spirit, as you work in hearts and draw them at this moment. We worship you. We worship you. If you sense that you need prayer this morning, either to take that seat again, take off the dust and sit across from Jesus daily or as often as possible, I want to pray with you to make that commitment again. And if you want to come and present yourself to Jesus, to say, Lord, I'm not sure if I've done this formally and properly, but I just want to give you my life. I want to repent of my sin. I want to turn to you, see you as my Lord and Savior. I see your crown, Lord, and I see your wounds. Have it speak to my life, and we want to pray for you. I'm going to count to three, and then I want you to take a step of faith. We're not going to lift up hands this morning. We've got all the facilitators here to love you and help you. But let's make a moment of faith this morning. When I say three, quickly step out. And one, two, and three. Let's move in this place. Thank you for your faith. Take that step of faith this morning. And let the Lord speak to you and minister to you. If you need to recommit to that relationship, sitting across from Jesus, quickly come out. We want to pray with you and come around you in this moment. You want to reconnect, recommit your life to Jesus. Some moments especially for you. Let's just pray in the Spirit for a couple of people. There's like a war in their hearts going on. It's like a war. Some of us, we're sitting in despair. You love him, but you don't know if he loves you. Quickly come out. He wants to lift you to the skies. Is anyone like that? If there's a wrestle in your heart, just take that first step. Lingering, especially for you. What I want us to do for a moment, just before we go, is if you are with your friend or with your spouse, just turn to them and quickly pray the blessing of the seat of Christ over them for their intimacy, that they will know Jesus. Just 1 minute, then I'm gonna release us to go. Just pray a blessing over them. Pray that they will know him, that they will look into his eyes. Make a commitment to follow. Accept his grace. Amen, everyone. If you're done praying, you're formally dismissed. Thanks for coming. I hope you have a blessed day. And thanks for chewing the difficult scriptures through with us. Amen. Bless you.